Welcome to Animalia, a podcast all about making it easy and inclusive to learn about this big, beautiful planet, the life we share it with, and how to protect it. Welcome to the 5 minute or so summary version of our discussion on the merits of de-extinction. There's so much good stuff in this episode. I really want you to check out the full version. We have three absolutely incredible scientists who joined us together the first time we've done this type of format on Animalia. So yeah, please, I really encourage you to check it out because there's absolutely no way I can do it justice in this 5 minute summary. But as always, I'll share a couple of highlights. So if you're not familiar with de-extinction, it's the science behind bringing back formerly extinct species. Well, sort of. Technically, we'd be bringing back hybrid species that are part extinct species and part similar existing species. If this sounds like a Steven Spielberg movie, well, it's pretty similar. And now the technology has arrived where it's pretty real. Headlines were made earlier this year when the company Colossal announced the $15 million funding round to bring back woolly mammoths. If it's technically feasible, the conversation shifts to, is it the right thing to do? What are the potential benefits? What are the potential risks? How do we design protocols? And what is the role in conservation and biodiversity protection? Well, that is what our three guests discuss in this episode. An evolutionary biologist, an ecologist who specializes in invasive species, and a parasitologist. What a trio. We touch on a few benefits in the full episode, and one of them lies in ecosystem services.
So many of our systems, our ecosystems, have degenerated from the time that humans first swept out of our cradle in Africa and conquered the world, essentially. And as we went, the data seems to show that, I mean, there's some arguments about climate change versus human hunting impacts or human impacts, but it basically looks as though, I mean, to kind of borrow a sort of, to paraphrase Tim Flannery, who's an Australian zoologist, they basically had a big barbecue across the globe. And they went across and they eradicated all the big animals. And the only place you still find big animals, more or less, to any extent to what they probably, the former community was, is Africa, where they evolved with us. So we basically drove across the Earth's ecosystems. We eradicated these huge ecosystem engineers in many cases. And so we have these depauperate, dysfunctional ecosystems, which the idea is we bring back some of the species. And we can do that via de-extinction, or we can do it via, say, Pleistocene rewilding, where we say, well, formerly the steppe ecosystem of Eurasia had camels and it had muskox and it had bison and it had mammoths. And so let's bring back the species that we actually have access to now. Let's bring back Bactrian camels, the two-humped camel. Let's bring back yak. Let's bring back muskox and restore Sega gazelle and Sega antelope, rather, and bring back those ecosystem services of this mass grazing, this huge nutrient cycling, storing carbon in the soil because there's so much more animal dung being added to the ecosystem. Then, of course, you bring the animals in and you get all these symbionts that live with them. So you get these dung beetles arriving and the dung beetles bury the dung. And so you're storing even more carbon and the dung beetles have hyperparasitoids. So suddenly your ecosystem is getting fleshed up and up and up once you start bringing back some of these big players in the ecosystem.
We also talk about a lot of the risks. And one of them is anchored in what we already know about invasive species and the difficulty in predicting what would happen if we introduce these new hybrid species into modern ecosystems.
So Mackenzie laid out some scenarios a minute ago for what people think will happen or might happen if we were to restore a bunch of large mammals to Siberia, for example. But invasion ecology shows us that we haven't been terribly good at predicting what is actually going to happen. And so, for example, the guy that introduced rabbits to Australia couldn't imagine they would cause any problems. And in fact, they caused huge problems. And so we have to, I think, admit the possibility that what will happen will be different than what we think will happen, particularly for strong actors like these large mammals that we're talking about that influence ecosystems in many ways.
We also spent a good amount of time discussing viruses. Now, if we introduce new species, we potentially will catalyze new viruses as well. But as Dr. Lynn Rothschild points out, viruses are unique in the de-extinction discussion in another way as well.
I want to make it clear to the listening audience why viruses are so different from everything else we're talking about. everything else we're talking about has parents that then have offspring and so on. And so you have all sorts of things that go into your offspring. You don't just have a naked piece of DNA. But with the virus, all the information to create a new virus is strictly in that DNA. And so the DNA goes into a host cell, the virus injects it, and then the host cell is taken over to actually produce a new virus de novo. And that's why it is the only organism at this point, and possibly forever, that we will literally be able to de-extinct in its entirety. And it's not a matter of putting the lid back on now. It's something simply that we can do. We have that information, and it's not all that hard. But it's a different sort of discussion, but just so that it's clear to the audience that there it's a different sort of creature, and therefore you can completely de-extinct it. Everything else, as has been pointed out, it's wink, wink. We're not really de-extincting a mammoth. And that's why this becomes, there's so many reasons that this can go horribly wrong.
And remember those woolly mammoths we mentioned at the top? Well, we spoke a bit about the thesis behind that project of using mammoths to help restore grasslands in Siberia, which would help protect the permafrost from thawing, which would help keep a lot of methane and carbon trapped underground. So how valid is this thesis? And what could be de-extinction's role in mitigating climate change and biodiversity loss?
But certainly for maintaining, say, Siberian permafrost, I can't see any better solution. Maybe not mammoths, but I mean, mammoths are kind of one aspect of a broader rewilding kind of situation. But I mean, if you can more or less return that ecosystem to a kind of steppe ecosystem, remove the trees, ensure that there's lots of chilly winter air touching the soil because the herbivores are grazing at such high scales. Personally, from what I've seen of the kind of climatic data that they're basing it on and the kind of ecological modeling that they're kind of doing, I can't see any better way of maintaining the methane, because there just doesn't seem to be any other method, and doesn't look like we'll keep below 1.5 degrees. Maybe we'll keep below 2, maybe we won't. I highly doubt we'll keep below 2, who knows? So I think it could be a generally useful out-of-the-box kind of solution to that. But as Dave said, in many of these cases, and I personally agree, and I'm going to go with it as well. It's a Weasley ecologist answer, is it's like absolutely dependent on the system you're dealing with. In some systems, it's going to be really, really useful. And in other systems, it's going to be an absolute nightmare.
Well, there's so much more in the full episode, so I really, really encourage you to go check it out if you get the chance. Thank you for supporting Animalia, this big, beautiful planet, and all the incredible life on Earth.